the talk of planet Earth.
We call it
TalkZone.com. Internet talk radio.
And we know you're going to love it.
TalkZone.com.
Let's get back to Barely Legal. Once again, here's Robin Earl and David Spada.
Well, that was fun. I learned a lot of military information, and this sounds like a good project, this Homes for the Troops. You know what? I think it's got a lot of traction. You know, you get that sold to some producer, and, you know, as long as you got the sponsorship, I mean, obviously, you know, I mean, that home makeover that's on ABC comes on, what, 7 o'clock Sunday nights. My goodness, I don't think Sue and I missed that. I mean, she says, get it on, because you know what follows right after that, don't you?
Desperate Housewives. My wife watches that, and that one with Sally Field, Brothers and Sisters, or Cousins, or whatever that is. I mean, look, Comcast should pick up that show. I mean, they got Game Time Dine-On, which I'm not the biggest fan of that show. If they're going to put that on, you might as well put something else a little better, which generates more listeners.
Well, anyway, before we get Andy, our NFL sports writer, on, I'm staring at the Chicago Bear website, and I see a bunch of rookies with elf hats on. I mean, what a joke. Because the Bears have been kind of a joke this year. Wouldn't you say so, Andy?
They're short on wins, just like the Elves.
Absolutely. They're the laughingstock of the NFL right now. And, hey, my question is, Devin Aromashudu, where's this guy been, huh?
Well, hasn't Cutler been lobbying for this guy for the last 10 weeks?
Yeah, absolutely has, and with good reason, obviously. The guy's got some pretty good hands, it looks like, and he matches up well against the defenders. And then what I liked about his play is he's a physical receiver, which is something we don't have. Obviously, when you have a 5'1 receiver like Devin Hester out there, you know, you just don't get the matchups that you're looking for. And I think Aromashudu offers that better than Hester.
Now they say he's about 6'2", but that's about what, 4 or 5 inches taller than Knox and yeah. Devin Hester, right?
Yeah, absolutely, he's the tallest receiver we have. So. Why he's just now getting involved in this offense is beyond me. Look, let's face it. Let's get Devin Hester back in receiving punts and kickoffs like he's supposed to.
There you go.
And create some electricity that way, because he certainly isn't doing it at the wideout position.
You got to blow up this team. Trade Devin. Get the draft picks. You got to get rid of Tommy Harris, whoever you could get. Get rid of Urlacher. Basically blow up this team. The lines are bad, like Robin's been saying. I mean, Cutler's got no time to throw. The defensive line can't get any pressure. You got to blow up the whole organization.
You know, and the sad part about it, too, when this, what's the way to pronounce his name?
Aromashudu.
We're going to have to, you know, me and names is horrible anyway. We'll have to
shortcut. Brian Billick wasn't doing much better on the broadcast.
We got to shortcut him a little bit. But the problem here is that, well, not a problem, Ron Turner won't see his better days.
Yeah, absolutely. I fully anticipate him taking the early flight out of Chicago as soon as the season's over. And, you know, who they're going to replace him with, look, he's definitely, like I've been saying for a while the past couple weeks, he's going to be the fall guy. If you're drinking the Kool-Aid and you think Lovie Smith is going to leave and he will be let go as of for next season, you're wrong. I don't see that happening. Look, we all know the McCaskey family is very cheap. They don't like to spend money, and I just don't see them forking out $11 million to pay Lovie Smith and then another $11 to $15 million for somebody that can come in and retool this team. It's just not going to happen.
But, Andy, they got to do something here, because the problem is who are you going to get in as offensive coordinator? Anyone who's got a proven track record is going to want big money and a long-term commitment. They know that Lovie, if he comes back next year, it'll be his last year if they don't make the playoffs. So they're a lame deck offensive coordinator. I mean, you got a defense that's terrible. Whoever's running it there, they got big problems.
Yeah, but David, who wants to come in knowing that Lovie Smith may only stick around another year?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's no job security in the NFL. And one thing about assistant coaches, they only have 1 year contracts.
Yeah.
1 year. That's it.
Yeah, but you've got a guy like Mike Martz who's unemployed. He's in that Lovie intertwined St. Louis, Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah, Tampa, the Rams. Why don't we just go get a whole line of...
bring Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks, bring them all. John Lynch.
No, let's go get all number 76s across the line.
Yeah, exactly.
Orlando Paces. How about some more Paces?
Yeah, really. How about a turnstile? It's the same thing.
But Andy, they got an out. They have an out. Lovey's making, what, $5-6 million a year? You're saying one of these coaches will take $10 million. If you hire Shanahan, Kyler, make him coach, GM, give him both jobs. You're getting two jobs for the price of one, and let the guy do everything for a couple of years and do it that way. And then you could basically show your fans that you're committed to winning rather than this garbage we got now.
You're absolutely right. I am on board with you 100%, David. But the reality of it is like I said, you know, these guys are just not going to divulge that kind of money with a big question mark. Look, these guys aren't even confident that they have the personnel on the team as far as talent is concerned, let alone the coaching staff. You know, obviously we've got some aged players coming up, and there's going to be some moves there that we're going to have to make. And is the new head coach really going to solve our problem? I would be inclined to say it would help, but I don't think it's 100% of the problem. I think we do have some aged players and some big situations to look at here in the next couple years. And, you know, who's it going to be that fits into that system? And I just don't think at this point, at this time, or next season, that they are willing to accept the fact that they're going to retool this entire organization, which is what a head coach is going to have to do.
Yeah. Hey, guys, what about this, though? You know, because of this collective bargaining agreement has got some issues, right? And it ends at the 09 season, and they're saying that 010 may not have one, which means free agency, which means uncapped. They say that this next year is going to be one of the richest drafts, richest free agency going. And what do the Bears have? No draft choices, and they're cheap.
So but the free agency thing's up in the air, too, because it's not going to be 4 years for a free agent. It's going to be 6 years. And here's the problem. The Brandon Marshalls, who's a four-year free agent, aren't going to be out there. They'll still be with the Broncos and their respective teams. The six-year free agents, there's not going to be any because they were free agents when they were 4 years, and they're already under contract. So the free agent class isn't going to be here.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good point.
I don't understand why they're going to this. You know, I'm one of the old-school guys. I believe if it isn't broke, don't fix it. And I don't see anything that's broke with the current system. So eliminating the salary cap, I don't know what the overall goal is of that, but I just don't think it's a great idea.
Okay, Andy, I'm going to start with you, then I'm going to go to David, and it's going to come to me. Who is the most disappointing player on the Bears, in your opinion?
With no hesitation, I'm going to say Tommy Harris.
Okay. All right. No practice. I'm in tennis shoes. I don't, you know what? He has improved a little bit, but nothing to his all-pro status. How about you, Dave?
I'd say Matt Forte. I mean, the guy was involved in 35% of the offense last year, and he can't basically run. He's running tentative. I mean, you got a backup running back 2 weeks ago running for 70 yards, his first play from scrimmage, and we're lucky if we get 9 yards for a good carry from Forte. He just doesn't seem to have it this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, my vote goes out to that number 82 Olsen tight end. It was supposed to be all everything when they drafted him 2 years ago, you know, with all this speed and so forth. My God, what a major, major, major disappointment. Now, what was it? I heard it this morning on Hanley and Mully's show that Hampton walked up to him and slept him in the chest. He goes, "Where's your chest?" "Oh, you didn't get one of those?" I mean, he says, you know, I mean, what is he not spending some time? You know, Greg Olsen just looks too skinny out there. You know, you take the great tight ends in the National Football League. You know, the one in San Diego,
Gates.
Then you got the one in San Francisco,
Vernon Davis.
I mean, these guys are studs, man. I mean, they're laying out after balls. They're doing this. They're doing that. Making great catches. I mean, you know, they're big. They're strong. But where the hell's Olsen been? And that's my big disappointment for the year.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, we like those tall, skinny, non-athlete types. Obviously, with Gaines Adams coming on board, have you seen him? He looks like a senior high school player out there. I mean, this guy's got nothing on him. He's just all skin and bone.
Andy, we need a total shake up over there at Hallis Hall. Danny McNeil's been saying it. He said the one who should be leading the Bears now is Brian McCaskey. I think we were on to something last month when we had him on here. But I'm going to say a taboo word for the score. Mike North, when Bill Wirtz died, he played a song from The Wizard of Oz, Ding Dong, The Witch is Dead. And when Rocky Wirtz took over, look what happened. It's the same family. Virginia is a sweet person. I don't wish anyone dead, but she's got to turn the reins over to Brian McCaskey, let him run that team, and basically say, listen, this is a new era in town. This is not the Mike McCaskey run team, the Ted Phillips run team. I'm going to do this right, and I'm going to shake everything up and bring a Bill Cowher in there.
And he's got to hire Bill or one of those type of coaches. Brian's just got to step aside and let the football people run the damn program. Yeah. That's what Jim Finks was all about.
George Halas brought Finks in. He had Ditka in there. Had him in place. And that's why they won, despite Mike McCaskey. And then when they won, McCaskey said, it was 'cause of me. And you saw him out there in the spotlight.
Yeah. I can't remember what station it was on, whether it was WGN or BBM or whatever. They had Tommy Zbikowski, you know, Buffalo Grove product here locally. And he was asking him questions about Jay Cutler and so forth, and he was trying to be kind with his words. but he did say, he says, well, you know what? I haven't really watched a whole lot of Jay because we haven't really played him yet. I really don't know how bad he is.
Robin, you went through this with an 81 with the Bears of Neil Armstrong. What was going on with that team? That team gave up too, pretty much. And you knew there had to be a shakeup, and that's when Finks came in around that time, and then you brought in Ditka. What was the morale of the team?
Well, you know, I mean, going back, let's go back to 1978. That just rings a bell. We started out 3 in a row, and then we lost 9 in a row. But then we won 4 of the last 5. So there was hope there, you know. I mean, yeah, we were in a transition. You know, we came off the playoff year in 78. In 79, we had a damn good year. That was the momentum that brought us into the 10-6 season. Then we slipped back to 6-10. And that was the worst team, you know, worst record that I had as a pro was in 1980.
Did that team give up, or the talent wasn't there?
You know what? I don't think the expectation from the people was all that great, technically. I mean, we went out and busted our butts. We did the best we could. But we always had that number 34 in the backfield, and we always had that opportunity to win the game. But the fans clung on to number 34. It didn't matter how bad we were, but number 34 just held the fan base together for us.
I remember watching the Bears at that time on Sundays in my grandparents' house from 12 to 3. Again, it was all about Walter Payton, it didn't matter who was a quarterback. You'd say, what are they doing with Avellini? Put Evans in or put Phipps in.
Whoever it was.
Again, it was all about Walter Payton. You never heard about Hampton or any of the other guys. It was always Walter Payton's team.
And, you know, you could see the development that, you know, what'd you have? Al Harris and Hamp drafted in 79 together. They were young. You know, you got a young Singletary that came in 1981. So, you know, I think the fans had a lot more forgiveness, you would say. Hell, this team went to the Super Bowl in 06, and then it's been all downhill since then. So the fans have a right to get a little pissed off.
Sure, and I think it's magnified times 10 with all the hoopla coming in with Jay Cutler coming in this season. Look, the media and the Chicago-based fans, let's face it, we were all looking at a Super Bowl team coming into this season. You know, everybody thought that Jay Cutler was the answer to this Chicago Bears team, and come to find out, look, he isn't the Messiah. And Robin, you've been saying that all year. He's just not. And we've got bigger problems than the quarterback. And has it been the quarterback? Has that been traditionally the problem with this team in the past couple of years? Well, you really have to put a question mark on that.
It's the lines. We got no offensive, defensive lines. No. John Hanna, Hall of Famer, called it last week. He said basically Buddy Ryan's scheme was, if 5 people are blocking, rush 6 people and let the cornerbacks go one-on-one coverage. We're rushing 5 people on 5, and we're in these third and long situations, and the cornerbacks cannot cover these guys. They're giving them too much padding here. And when there are basically not, when the other team is not basically getting first downs on third and longs, it's because they're dropping the ball, the receivers, or something like that. It's not because the defense have stopped them.
Right.
Yeah, good point. You know, defense has 11. Offense, technically, you know, it's got 10.
Right.
Of course, the quarterback with the ball, that's what makes Vince Young so valuable, because he's got his great legs. But, you know what, Vince Young, and I like him as a, you know,
nothing beats a great pair of legs.
Really growing up, though. This Vince Young is really starting to mature, and you know, maybe, you know, it's like anything other. It's just the progression of what you're doing. You know,
yep.
I mean, you know, it's
but
all.
But who's his coach down there? He's got Jeff Fisher down there, who every year those team is competitive. They're over 500. They're making the playoffs. Here we got Lovie Smith running this Tampa too, and it's not here. We're playing Baltimore this week, the Ravens. They run the old Buddy Ryan defense to 46, and every year this defense is tough. They lost 2 of their top players last week, and they were still tough.
Yep, absolutely. And I tell you what, Matt Forte had a lot better expectations coming into this season than Chris Johnson did.
I agree, but Chris Johnson's a stud.
Exactly. He runs a 4-2.
He is just so exciting to watch.
Isn't he?
A lot better than our Bulls. I can't, you know, even though there was the Lakers in town, not to switch gears here, but aren't the Bulls so uninteresting? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. How about Kobe Bryant scoring 20 in the first quarter?
No, that's and we don't want to trade Luol Deng for him. But again, yeah. This team is in trouble, this Bears team. I mean, we got a no Bulls team here. They're not doing anything. We're waiting to get Chris Bosh or someone
Black in the Hawks.
You got the Blackhawks. That's it. The biggest news in the paper was Patrick Kane's 21st birthday.
I saw that.
And then you got Kittle there. Kittle's on Facebook talking about it. And you got all the people who were there. And then they bring up Bobby Hall, who was there, but they didn't mention how much he had to drink that night.
Isn't Bobby Hall, you just look at him with that toupee on, but doesn't he just enjoy life?
He does. These old guys enjoy it.
Life.
They enjoy playing. You look at this current Bears team, they're not enjoying it.
They're
and what I was bringing
fun.
Up before with tackling, you've got to tackle to be successful. They don't tackle in practice. Look at Johnny Knox, he's afraid to go over the middle and get hit. If he gets hit in practice, he will not be afraid to get hit. Again, they do not tackle. Like Robin said, what was that thing, the nutcracker?
The nutcracker, first day of practice. Hey, boys, we got to wrap up here. I want to thank our sponsors, particularly Stewart's Coffee, Bolingbrook Country Club. David, it's not possible without your law offices here. And a Rockford Charitable Games, and I'm going to be appearing later this evening at the Doubletree Inn Hotel off Algonquin Road there in Arlington Heights. They're also going to be at Indian Lakes Resort in Bloomingdale, Illinois, and the Lombardi Club in Rockford off of Olive Street there. So that's the next three appearances for Rockford Charitable Games. Try to get out there. It is a blast. This is the Barely Legal Show. We've had a great time. Look forward to seeing you next week.